So oftentimes we tell non-believers that if you would follow Jesus, if you would receive, you will receive all the blessings of life, and your life will be hunky-dory from here on out. Amen? Isn't that what we tell them? All the time. You just need Jesus. If you had Jesus, your life would be great. Right? But listen to me. Since you asked Jesus to come into your heart, has your life been a bed of roses? No. In fact, if you really stepped out in faith, if you're really following Jesus, if you got out of the boat and you're walking on the water, you're having some issues, right? But you got Jesus, and He don't ever leave you.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Preaching from Matthew 16, Brother Mark delivered his sermon titled, Your Cross. And now, Brother Mark.
I'm going to be looking in God's Word. The title of this message is Your Cross. This week, at Small Group, I watched a video by Kyle Eidelman, and had some conviction in watching that video, and I thought I'd just pass the conviction on, if you will. So it's called Your Cross to Bear, Bearing Your Cross, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. We're going to look at some other verses too, but that's going to be the key verse, so we'll do that one. And if you would, just stand as we read God's Word. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Let's pray. Father God, let us be cross bearers. May we deny ourselves daily. May we pick up the cross as we die to self and follow You in life. Lord, You said that in Your Word that we cannot be Your followers unless we do so. And Lord, so many times we lay down the cross and we pick up our old life and walk in it. Lord, forgive us. Lord, do a work in our hearts this morning. As Your Spirit moves in this place, may Your Spirit move within us. Stir Your Spirit, Lord, in our lives. And bring us to the place where we say, yes, Lord. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the church said, Amen. You may be seated. Matthew 10:38 says a similar thing. It says, "Whoever does not take up his cross and follow Me is not worthy of Me." In Mark 8:34, it says it this way, "And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me.'" Luke, the good doctor, always, he says that with a little more detail. He says, "And He said to all of them, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me.'" Because every day we must die to self to live for Christ. Amen? Luke 14:27 also says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple." So what does it mean to bear your cross? We don't bear Jesus' cross because He bared His own cross and went to the cross of Calvary and died for the sins of the world, and God did not call us to die for the sins of the world. Amen? He called Jesus to die for the sins of the world. But God gave you a cross to bear. God gave you a cross to carry. And so, what does that look like to carry your cross? Well, we've all been in the church a long time, and we all understand what it means to take up the cross daily and follow Jesus, right? We know what that means. Sure we do. We have seen this lesson many times in Sunday school. We have heard many great orators preach this lesson, and we know what it means to do what Jesus asks us to do and not what we want to do. But listen, in Jesus' day, taking up the cross was the death penalty. If you had a cross, you were on death row. If you had a cross, you were on the road to crucifixion. If you had a cross, you were doomed to execution. If you had a cross, your life was over. If you had a cross, you were terminal. I don't know how else to say it, but having a cross means you were dying. Jesus in this text asks us to die to self and live for Him. The verse in Luke said that we must die daily. I don't know about you, but these verses to me have brought about conviction in my heart. I thought about my life and my day and my day in and day out activities. And you know what? A lot of my day I live for me. You know, every day we try to pick up our life and live out our day according to the things that we do. But listen, most of the times, if you think about it, that's exactly what you do. You live your life for you. As believers, isn't that true? Don't most of the day, think about it. Most of the day, we get up and we might pray. We might spend a little time with God, and then we go about our day according to what we wanted to do for that day. What is the cost of discipleship? Luke 8 has a story about Jesus. He comes down from the mountain where He just delivered the greatest sermon that had ever been preached. We all know about the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about blessed are they. He talked about being salt in our light and world. He talked about His ministry to fulfill the law. He talked about all the issues of the heart. He talked about marriage and a swearing and oaths. He talked about going the extra mile and giving people the shirt off your back. He talked about loving your enemies. He talked about doing good when everybody else was doing bad. He talked about the model prayer, how we should pray to God. He talked about fasting for attention and what that means. He talked about laying up treasures in heaven. He talked about your eye being the lamp of the body. He talked about serving God and loving money. He talked about how not to worry and why worry is harmful. He talked about judging others and when we have a telephone pole in our own eye. He talked about asking God for help and seeking God daily and knocking on the door and finding the narrow way and knowing believers by fruits. Why, Jesus will say, I never knew you, and building houses on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. What a great sermon Jesus preached on the mount that day. And as He come down from the mountain, you can imagine all these people that was out there that heard this great sermon, they all followed the preacher. Well, when preachers preach good sermons, people like to follow them, amen? And that's probably why I don't have too many following. I know that there was this little girl standing there as you walk out, you know, the preacher's always standing there shaking hands, and this little girl comes up and says, "Preacher, when I get old, I'm going to give you lots of money." And I said, "Well, why is that?" Says, "Because your mom says you're the poorest preacher we ever had." When He came down from the mountain, a great crowd followed Him. And they followed Him because they was attracted to His preaching. They had heard the word, and it was different than what they had been hearing every day from the Pharisees, from the religion of the day. It was different from what they had been hearing. It was in opposition to the ways that they thought was true of the word. And they was interested in what Jesus had to say. And they followed Him. And this leper came out of the crowd and he worshiped Jesus. And he said, "Jesus, if you would just touch me, if you are willing, you will heal me." You can imagine lepers of the day, nobody touched them. In fact, when they walked down the street, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so people would stay away so that they would not catch the disease. But he goes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I believe you are the great healer. I believe you're able to heal me. If you would just touch me, I would be healed. And Jesus reached out and touched him and he was healed. Jesus walked on into the city of Capernaum, and a centurion came to him and pleaded with him, heal my servant who's dying in my home. And he didn't want Jesus to go there because he was ashamed of what Jesus might see if Jesus went to the home. And he said to Jesus, he says, you can heal him from this place right here if you are willing. And Jesus said, I've not seen any greater faith in all of Israel. And he healed his servant. Jesus made his way to Peter's house where Peter's mother-in-law was sick and she had a high fever, probably COVID-1. She had a high fever anyway. Jesus touched her and she was healed. It don't say whether Peter asked him to heal his mother-in-law, and it don't say if Peter was upset when he did, but Jesus healed his mother-in-law that day. That very evening, Jesus healed many who had demonic possessions of various illness. He healed all that was brought to him to be healed. And all that Jesus required was a little bit of faith like a mustard seed. In Luke 9:57, when Jesus saw the large crowd, he gave the command that he was going to depart to the other side. Uh-oh. Whenever he goes to the other side, people get a little nervous. You know? It's like if I was saying to you, tomorrow we're all going to gather here at the church tomorrow evening. We're going to go over to the bad side of town and do some witnessing. You get a little nervous, right? This man walks out, this scribe, and he says to Jesus, he says, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Now that's a pretty big order, right? Jesus answered him and says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I have no place to lay my head. Jesus turned to another man and said to follow me. And the man answered, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the good news. A third man said to Jesus, I will follow you, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus answered the man, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. In the first case, we see the man who said, I will follow you wherever you go. He didn't realize that Jesus was homeless. Jesus said, I have no place to lay my head. I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. You don't know what you're saying if you're saying you'll follow me wherever I go. Because all you've seen is the great Sermon on the Mount. All you've seen is me healing all these people. All you've seen is me casting these demons out. All you've seen is this glory and glitter, right? You haven't seen the tough stuff yet. Because the tough stuff's coming. It's easy to say that you will follow Jesus if you have seen the greatest sermon ever preached, if you've seen the greatest healing and the greatest salvations, if you were in the midst of that great rally and that protest that was going on to the religious stronghold of that day. It would be easy to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. But this man had not seen the hardships of being a true believer. The hardships and trials and circumstances and things that come into the lives of every believer who is truly engaged in ministry. He did not realize that following Jesus was not always going to be healing and freeing folks of evil spirits and great Sermon on Mountains. Jesus said that if we are to follow him, we must count the cost. Jesus said that he was persecuted and so will we be if we are following him. Jesus said that he was homeless and so will you be if you follow him. There is a difference between being a casual observer of Jesus and being a follower. In the second case, the man wished to wait to follow Jesus until after he had received his inheritance from his father. He says, when my father dies and we bury him and I receive the inheritance, I will follow you. He was saying, when I'm financially secure and I don't have to worry about working, when I have all my needs met, Lord, I'll follow you. Jesus seen right through that. And he did not, Jesus did not have any earthly riches, and we're not promised earthly riches if we follow Jesus. I want to visit a little bit right now about cheap grace. So oftentimes we tell non-believers that if you would follow Jesus, if you would receive, you will receive all the blessings of life, and your life will be hunky-dory from here on out. Amen? Isn't that what we tell them? All the time. You just need Jesus. If you had Jesus, your life would be great. Right? But listen to me. Since you asked Jesus to come into your heart, has your life been a bed of roses? No. No. In fact, if you really stepped out in faith, if you're really following Jesus, if you got out of the boat and you're walking on the water, you're having some issues, right? But you got Jesus. And he don't ever leave you. He will walk with you on the water. And when you start to sink, he says, reach up your hand. I'm right here. He pulls you up. And he keeps you going. And he is all you need. And he helps you through every circumstance in life. The main difference between believers and non-believers is when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We have a friend that will never leave us. And he is all powerful. And he's in control of everything. And he's the Son of the Almighty God, the creator of earth and everything in it. And the universe. And he is our friend. And he never leaves us. If you're a true follower of Jesus, I guess that your life, like mine, has some very rough spots and some ugly roads to endure. But don't get me wrong, the world has the same issues. It says it rains on the just and the unjust just the same. But we have that friend that sticks closer than a brother. We have an advocate with the Almighty, the creator of all things, in whom all things are possible. And we need to be careful in sharing the good news that folks understand that they must die to themselves to live for Jesus. It's not cheap grace. Jesus paid a huge cost for the grace that he gives us freely. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and very few people find it. Is that because Jesus and God restricts the number of people that can go through the gate? No. It's because it's very hard to lay down your life and pick up the life that Jesus calls you to pick up that causes us to move through that gate. He says you must deny yourself, you must die to yourself in order to go through this gate. And most people say, like the rich young ruler, I can't do that. In the last case, we see the person wish to go back and see if it was okay with his family if he followed Jesus. He's going to go ask him, you mind if I follow Jesus, Dad? Mom, do you mind? How about brother, sister? Is it be okay with you if I follow Jesus? If you need to ask others if it's okay if you follow Jesus, you're not ready to follow Jesus. Because you're more interested in what other people think than what Jesus thinks. Luke 14:26 says, if anyone comes after me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yeah, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That seems pretty harsh. But listen, Jesus is not saying you have to hate your family. Jesus is saying you have to love him more than your family. You have to love him more than your family. You may have to do some things that makes your family mad if Jesus says for you to do them things. So you have to follow Jesus. You have to forsake all others. Just like getting married. Forsaking all others. Amen. Forsaking all others, I will be faithful to Jesus. Right? That's what we say when we give our heart and life to Jesus. Right? You remember the time you said yes to Jesus? I said, Lord, I give you my life. I make you Lord of my life. We did that, right? But then did we take some of our life back? Do we lay down our cross and follow our own ways? Time and time and time again. But listen, Jesus is always there with open arms saying, all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, and I'll forgive you and be Lord of your life again. Needless to say, these are all excuses not to follow Jesus. I will follow you, Lord, as long as I'm blessed. As long as I see the healings and the miracles and hear the great sermons, I'm there. I'm with you. We have a lot of believers today. They come to church on Sunday. They like to hear the good messages that I preach. But I don't see them the rest of the week. The rest of the week, are they laying down their lives for Jesus? Are they doing God's will and not their own will? I don't know about you, but I have conviction. I'm not always doing the will of God every day. I'm doing what Mark wants to do. I will follow you as soon as I'm financially secure or as soon as I retire. As soon as I retire, I'll have a lot more time. What I've found is when people retire, they have less time. People call up and say, hey, since you're retired, could you? Will you? I'd like for you to help. Yeah? You have less time. I'll follow you if it's okay with my family and friends, but I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, people are going to be offended. They're going to be offended. They're going to be offended at social media when you post the things that Jesus says to put on there. Right? Amen? They're going to be offended when you come against them, when they say, I don't believe there is a God, or I think abortion's okay. When you come against them and you say the truth of God's word, they're going to be offended. But Jesus said, they was offended at me, they're going to be offended at you if you're a true follower. We've all been satisfied with the things that this world has to offer that make us so comfortable. Right? Like our nice pretty house and our brand new car. And all the things that we are able to get as Americans, we are so spoiled and ungrateful. Would you be willing to give up your house, your car, your pet? Would you be willing to give up to follow Jesus? That's asking an awful lot. Okay, how about some of your extra clothes or shoes? Would you be willing to give up your shoes to follow Jesus? Now, how about your cell phone? Would you be willing to lay down your cell phone to follow Jesus? Most people would be saying, I don't know about that. I need my cell phone. It's like I might have an emergency or something, right? When we first got cell phones, my wife said, I really need a cell phone because we may have an emergency or something. We have unlimited data emergencies in now. It's crazy. Jesus don't ask us to give up our house or our cat or our dog or our car. Right? He had called you. Did he say that? Did he say you have to give this stuff up? No. There was a gentleman from Africa who got saved while visiting the States. He stayed here for a while, and then he decided to return to Africa and asked why he was going back to Africa. He says, it's way too comfortable here in America. You all have everything you need, so you don't need God. But back in Africa, we don't have all our needs met, and I would really need God there. In conclusion, I hope you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you felt the same pain in my heart that I felt whenever I come under conviction because of this text that we just read, then I have a remedy. Do you want the remedy? Yeah? Wouldn't it be terrible if I preached this message and then you just went on, you didn't know the remedy? So we all want the conclusion, right? People say, what's people's attention span during a sermon? I say, well, I don't know, it's probably 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But you know what? You get everybody's attention when you say these words. In conclusion, everybody looks at you. And this is the important part, okay? So in conclusion, pay attention. Here's the remedy. Number one, spend time with God every day. Spend time with God. Every day when you wake up, realize you're a child of God, that His Son paid your adoption fees. Be grateful and be willing to communicate with the Redeemer every day. Multiple times a day, not just morning, not just at lunch, not just in the evening, but multiple times a day. When whatever you're doing, think about what God's thinking and what God's wanting and talk to God. Yeah, if you're driving a truck, talk to God while you're driving the truck. If you're running the feed mill, talk to God while the PTO's a whizzing around. You know? Pay attention to what you're doing, please. But whatever you're doing, spend time with God. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." We all know this verse, right? We was talking a couple Sundays ago. This verse is not for non-believers. This verse is in context to believers. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at your door and knock all the time. I want in. I want in. I want to communicate with you. I want to fellowship with you. Why won't you let me in? You're going to do this. I want to go with you. You're going to do that. You're going fishing. You're going. You keep leaving me out. I'm knocking at your door. I want to come in and eat with you and have fellowship with you. I want to spend all day with you." Every day, Jesus loves us. He wants to spend time with us. So spend time with God. Secondly, see, everything is spiritual. Everything. What does that mean? Your home is a ministry. You know, no matter what kind of home you got, your home is a ministry. Your job is a ministry. No matter what kind of job you got, your job is a ministry. Start to see everything in life spiritually, okay? Look at it with spiritual eyes and say, "God, I know you give me this job because you want me to use it as a ministry. So I'm going to work today anticipating the people that's going to come in contact with me in my job so that I can share the good news with them." You see that? It's different than saying, "I got to go to work today. Oh my, I hate work." You know? It's all about the attitude, right? If God give you that job, God's going to give you things in that job that's going to give you reasons to want to go to work, right? And if every day you went to work, you was able to lead someone to the Lord, would you want to go to work tomorrow? Huh? See, everything in your life, Colossians 3:23 says it this way. Do all things according to the Lord. If you're going fishing, see it as a ministry. Take someone fishing that don't know the Lord. If you're going to recreate, if you're going to work out and get some muscles, go up there and work out and get some muscles and visit with the person next to you. Do you know Jesus? You ever met him? He's cool. He's all powerful. He's my best friend. Thirdly, see your life in Christ. See your life in Christ. He paid the price for your freedom, right? You told him he could have all of you when you asked him to come in. So let go and let God have it all. You'll never be free. You'll never be content. You'll never see miracles. You'll never see healings. You'll never see salvations. You'll never see the blessings of God until you let go and live in Christ. All your dreams, all your desires, all your plans, your entire life, God wants it. He says it this way in Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, You are awesome. You are all we need. Lord, as the world comes against us, You are all we need. Lord, as we wake up every day and we see problems unfolding, You are all we need. And Lord, there's not a thing that goes by but You don't know about it. There's not a thing that's coming that You haven't already seen it. And Lord, because of that, we can trust you. And we can know that you have us in your hand, in your almighty right hand. And Lord, your strength is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Everything about you is sufficient to meet all of our needs. And Lord, I just pray that we would find our cross, that we would pick it up, that we would die to self, and we would follow you. Lord, whatever that is, it's different for all of us. But Lord, whatever that is, I pray that we would see it, that we would hear it, and that we would follow you. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. And Lord, they're too great to count. Lord, if we try to count all of our blessings, we just run out of numbers. But Lord, you are awesome. You never quit working. You never quit giving. You never quit pursuing us. Thank you that you didn't give up on us. In order to, even though we lay down our cross, you're always there, waiting for us to pick up our cross again and follow you. Thank you that you're the God of a second chance and a third chance and fourth chance. And Lord, I just pray as believers that we would realize that we are yours. We are no longer our own. We are yours. We're still here in this world, but we're not of the world. And Lord, you've called us to a higher plane. You've called us to a greater passion. You've called us to a desire that is unlike the world's. And Lord, if we could just get that and keep that, we would be good. So help us, Lord. We need you every day, every moment. All these things I pray in your precious and holy name. And the church said, we're going to be singing page 275.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.